family now for just over 14 years. Can't believe that, 14 years, where's that gone? It's a huge part of my life. It's my church family, which I love. It's my place of work, it's where I work. And you know, it's the place where I've grown most spiritually. Who'd have thought I'd have been a leader at a church? Not me for sure. But here is where that was all birthed. I cannot imagine not being a part of Carmel CC. And yet, over the last few weeks, I have really struggled with feelings of not wanting to come to church and feeling really quite disconnected, of not wanting to come to work. I love my job. So why do I feel like this, or why did I feel like this? It felt really strange, and it came as quite a shock and a surprise. And as I've reflected on this, God has shown me areas of my life that really needed some godly TLC. And I wanted to share with you today, because I know that if I'm feeling like this, then more than likely I won't be on my own, but maybe others are feeling like this as well. You know, recognizing when we're struggling is really important, because it's the starting point of fixing what is wrong. We can deny that anything is wrong, can't we? We'll cover it up, we'll pretend it's not there, but eventually the cracks start to come through. And if we don't do something about it, then we could end up being shattered. I knew if I didn't want to come to church, something wasn't right. Something was wrong, because I love this place. So what's happened to me to make me feel like this? God showed me really, quite clearly, that really, in a nutshell, life had happened. It snuck up on me without me really realizing. Just life had got in the way of my spiritual walk. It's dead easy to get blown off course. And you know, you will all, without a shadow of a doubt, go through events at some point in your life that will stop you in your tracks. What's important is recognizing when it happens and knowing how to deal with it. The last 2 years have been incredibly full on for me in all areas of my life. I'm trying not to get emotional now as I think back. Not only have we had to deal with COVID and lockdown and coping with everybody being at home, well, for us anyway, everybody being at home, having no real space for myself, supporting my own family as we've gone through some pretty tough times. Dealing with a cancer diagnosis for Ray's mum and supporting her through that journey. The logistics of weekends in Luton, trips to London for appointments, and then grieving for when she finally passed away. Having to handle all the affairs afterwards, clearing a home, getting the home ready for sale, thank you, Paul. Supporting Ray and Anthea through all of that. And then work. I love my job, but it's been hard over the last 12 months. I've had to learn new procedures and policies. I've had to switch from doing home visits, sitting in front of my clients and looking in their eyes and sharing God's love, to phone calls, which are so impersonal. You can't see somebody's smile on the telephone. Not being able to share God's love has been really difficult for me. Having to learn how to handle Zoom calls and video calls and upload documents and just change the way that we do everything. We had to get used to doing church differently. Our leadership roles changed dramatically, and I don't know about the other elders, but I felt a real responsibility to work so hard at keeping us all connected, which was really quite time consuming. You know, at times last year I felt like I was never off WhatsApp every single day, ping, ping, ping. And then this year, moving into the new year, we decided to embark, for good or for bad, on some major refurbishment at our home, which meant we've had to move out of our house for 4 months. And I can tell you, dealing with workmen and trying to source and order goods online because the shops weren't open is not easy. In the shop, there's been a lot of stuff happening. and no real time in between to process any of it. I've just cracked on because that's what we do. Many of you have gone through similar kind of stuff. I'm not sharing anything unique to me. I can sit here and point out numerous people in here that have had a really tough 12 months and you've just cracked on. When I reflected on all of this, I realised, one, I'm extremely tired. And when we're tired, we don't cope well. Two, I'm emotionally spent. And three, life had overtaken me and my spiritual well-being took a hit, which in turn has impacted my mental and physical well-being. I sat there the other week and I worked out that I'd not been in a proper church service setting for over 16 months. It's a long time. And if I'm honest, maybe I think I'd just gotten used to that, to not being here. They say it takes just 6 weeks to form a new habit. Well, is it any wonder I feel strange after 16 months? I think not being in church, sharing fellowship, being together, sharing the presence of God like we've done this morning, as we praise and worship, has caused my spirit to wilt, and I didn't see it. I know we shared online services, but they could never replace this, ever. And it's not difficult to understand, really. If you had a plant and you didn't water it for a few weeks, I'm pretty sure it would start to wilt and die. To thrive, we need to be fed regularly. I'm still here, well, because I've been doing enough, you know, enough to survive, but I want so much more than that. Christ didn't die on the cross for me to just survive. We sing that song, don't we? Thrive. And there's an old saying that says you only get out what you put in. And perhaps life has overtaken me and I've not been putting in what I need to be putting in. All I know what I need to do to fix this is to put my eyes back on Christ and to be back in church and to fully immerse myself. To get back to quiet time with Jesus and to take some proper rest to rejuvenate my batteries. Sue, do you remember that preach you did? I don't know if it was last year or the year before, about the three men that we have. We have our physical man, our mental man, and our spiritual man. And Sue said how important it was to take care of each and every one of those persons. And it's so true. However, I also think it's important to acknowledge when you've been through a lot and to take time to process it and recover. For many of us, we've not taken that time during lockdown because we became busier than ever, connecting on every level with one another, except in person. In normal times, you know, I would never be messaging you every single day. I wouldn't. I'd see you on a Sunday. And yet that felt the right thing to do last year. But that did have an impact on me. There was no time to switch off. There was no time to just be. When we realise that we've got something wrong, it can be really easy to start throwing the blame game around and blaming yourself. Now, I'm thankful that I'm mature enough in my faith not to start on that journey of guilt, shame and unworthiness for neglecting my walk with Christ. It'd be really easy to do, and I want to encourage you, when you go through tough times and you think you realise you've done something wrong, please don't blame yourself. You know, God's not a God of condemnation. He really isn't. I want to remind us all this morning of some of God's promises for when we get it wrong. I might have felt disconnected, but the truth is, God says in Deuteronomy 31 verse 8, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He's been with me all the while. I've just been looking the other way. He's been there and I've been looking there. Paul says in Romans 8, verse 38, I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing I can do will ever separate me from the love of God. And in Romans 8, verse 1, there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ. So I don't need to feel guilty about any of this, but just instead acknowledge that maybe I've got things wrong for a little while. This has been an incredibly hard 18 months. I've battled isolation, bereavement and grief, selling a home, dealing with complicated finances and solicitors, family illnesses, a temporary relocation. And at the same time, we've just kept on working without a break while supporting those around us. So Lisa, come on. This is what I said to myself. Just acknowledge the enormity of all that for a moment and not feel guilty about it, but say, come on, give yourself a break. And let's admit that, yes, you probably are pretty tired, but do you know what? You're still standing. You're still running your race. You're still in it. Marathon runners often talk about hitting the wall when they get to about 18 or 20 miles, where the legs will feel like concrete, like they can't put one more foot in front of the other. Feelings of utter fatigue and negativity can set in. That's exactly how I was feeling. The pressures of COVID and family, of work and finances have all set in and I hit my wall. Mark talked last week, didn't he, about how we can get pushed off track and what we have to do to get back on track. Quite simply, we put our eyes back on God. We get up, we apply our faith, and we push on. And so these last few weeks, where I've been feeling out of sorts, I knew deep in my heart the best way to resolve this was to push back through to Jesus. And despite not wanting to, just to get back into church. Paul says in Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 4, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith." He's saying, shake off all that holds you back and push through with endurance, keeping your eyes firmly on Christ. You see, as I've pushed through, coming to church despite how I've felt, as I've met with CAP clients, I did my first home visit this week, really not wanting to pick up their load, but then watched the relief spread across their faces as they realise there's a way out and someone genuinely does care and love them. As I've sang with Ray and his team, and I've praised God despite not wanting to sing a word, I have felt my spirit soar and be renewed. God has blessed me for my perseverance. So I want to finish by saying to you, when you grow weary, when you hit your wall, don't be discouraged. God knows exactly where you are in your journey. He knows your next steps. And remember, he's just waiting for you to press into him so he can run the race with you.
Thank you, Lisa. It's hard sometimes to be honest and to be honest with yourself. And maybe you're experiencing something similar to what Lisa's been through. God still loves you. God still cares about you. It tells in the word, doesn't it, that by grace we are saved. But we also live by grace every day. He gives us what we need. His grace is sufficient. His call on our lives is supplied by everything that we need. Sometimes we've just got to acknowledge that we need him. So we're going to pray now. If you're in a position where you feel you've hit your brick wall, where you're worn out, you can't go on, we're going to pray for you right now. Father God, we just thank you that you are a God that just loves us. You want to see us thrive in life, not struggle. You've given us everything that we need. And this morning I pray for those particularly who feel that they've hit this brick wall, that they have lost connection with who you are. Just minister into their hearts right now. Remind them of your love. Lord, may they know in their heart that you are just ministering to them right now and make a difference as they walk out of this building this morning. Amen. Amen. Are we still being recorded? Yeah, can you leave it on? Because I'm going to go through the notices now. Just as a reminder of all the things that we're doing. Just talking about hitting brick walls. You know, as a church, we've obviously, for the last 18 months, we've been on a go slow, really. or its peso. Some of us have been really busy in the background, a bit like the duck and its legs going under the water or whatever. But as church, we are now waking up. Things are becoming more normal, and we've got to press on. We've got to not grow weary with doing good, because we want to see the fruit of all that God has got for us. And so we're just waking up, and you need to wake yourself up as well and really go for it as we put things in place for church. So this is what's going to be happening. There's a baptismal service on the 12th of September. We're looking forward to that. That's going to be part of our Sunday morning worship. The baptismal tank is at that end, and we're going to baptize a number of people who have come to faith, who really want to see their walk with God move on. The week before, on the 5th of September, Jed's going to go through a teaching session on what baptism is, what qualifies us for baptism, what's going to happen, how long we're going to hold you under, all that kind of thing. Depends on how much we like you. That's not true. I love you. Yeah. So that's going to be on the 12th of September. Please make yourself available on the 5th. That'll be after the Sunday service. We'll go straight into a teaching session on water baptism. We have the fixed conference on the 25th of September. We've booked 20 places. We have quite a lot of those places have gone, but we do have some spare. So if you're involved with the Freedom Homes training, if you've been involved with that and you're interested in mentoring, and you're free on Saturday the 25th, it's a great event to go to, just to experience God bringing transformation to, usually there's about 300 or 400 people there, and it's just a very powerful conference to be part of. It just exposes God's power in people's lives, and it's brilliant. So if you're interested in that, please let myself or Steve know. We're catching up on the 16th of September at 7 o'clock. That's a Thursday evening. That's going to be here. It's a catch-up for those that went on the training, for those who weren't able to go on the training. And we're going to just reflect on that. We're going to look at how we mentor somebody. And we're going to look at the start of the training course, which is going to be, or the recovery course, sorry, which is going to be on the 30th of September. So we're going to begin our new journey, delivering this recovery course on the 30th of September. And we look forward to God continuing to bless what we do, to make a real difference in the lives as though trying to break free from addiction. So that's going to be awesome. And we look forward to God really transforming the lives of many, many people. On a practical level, we have no cafe or crafts this week. They both reopen on the 14th of September. This week, however, we had a afternoon tea and craft session, and Sue and she brought a team together, which was brilliant. And those that came along would have really, really appreciated and enjoyed the whole session. So thank you so much for that. It was brilliant. I didn't go, but I got some of the leftovers. It's a bit like, you know, when Jesus fed the 5,000 and they collected 12 loaves or 12 baskets up at the end. I partook of the 12 baskets at the end, so that was really good. Thursday is our prayer, sorry, not Thursday, Tuesday is our prayer and fasting day. I'm going to send a list out as usual tomorrow. I'll contact those and see where we're up to, so we've got an updated list for those that we're praying for. And this has been really important for us to do. We've not been able to meet together to pray, but we have been praying together. And that's been massively important in the lives of many of our congregation, many of our family members. So please continue to do that. It's made, I was just looking at some of the first ones that we did and how the needs have changed. Some of the people we're praying for have changed. We've seen God bring healing to those, and we're still praying for some that are going through treatment. So please continue to be involved in that. If you're not as part of a small group praying online, then you can pray on your own. That's fine. So I'll send that update around tomorrow. Yesterday, Anthony's family had a reflection of Anthony's life. You know, Anthony, who passed away last year. And it was great just for them to be able to meet together and share a time with some of us, some of his church family, just remembering Anthony. And we continue to pray for his family. They're really seeking God. They're looking for something. They recognize that Anthony had something, and they're seeking for that. So we continue to pray for Anthony and or his family, that God becomes significant in their understanding of who he is. So that's it for today. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you to the worship team. It's been great just to be able to worship almost normally. Encourage those around us to come in on a Sunday and just join with us. It's really important that we meet together. It says don't forget to meet together, because if we don't, you kind of lose touch, don't we? And we don't want to do that. We want the unity of the body to continue, and we want God's blessing on everything that we do. Let's just stand and we will pray, and then we will close the service. Father, we just thank you that you're interested in everything we do. You love it when we come together and worship you. It says it's like a sweet smell in your presence, and we want our gatherings, our worship, to be pleasing to you. And we thank you in that process as well. When we worship you, Lord, you bless us, you minister to us, you meet our need, and we thank you for that. We thank you that you've been here this morning. We thank you that you've been part of who we are and what we do. And we pray for our future. Lord, we ask that you will just continue to bless all our outreaches, all our ministries, all our vision for you being involved in this community. Just bless us so that we can bless our community. Amen. For those of you who've brought an offering or a tithe, whatever we want to call it, there's a red box on the platform, the table there. Just put your gifts in there. That will be much appreciated. Thank you.